Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa with Microsoft, Silverlight Evangelist, and today I've got Mark Wilson-Thomas.
That's right.
From the which teams?
I'm from a team that people might know as CIDR. We're the team that builds the Visual Studio Designer for WPF and Silverlight, and I'm a program manager on that team.
Excellent, and you're also better known as Pav, correct?
Yeah, they call me Pav, yeah. Some say that's something to do with the beard, apparently some dead Italian opera star.
So maybe we'll have a little singing exposition at the end.
I promise not.
Okay, good, good. We want to keep our viewers on, right?
Yeah, really, best not to lose them at this early stage.
Excellent, so let's dive into the reason that you're here is there's some really cool new features in Visual Studio 2010.
That's correct, yes. In fact, they just shipped in the Visual Studio 2010 Silverlight 4 tools, which
Excellent.
You can find up on silverlight.net.
Great. So what are the features you're going to show us today before we jump in the demo?
So the first three things, there are three things I'm going to talk about. Mm-hmm. The first, we're going to spend most of our time just answering the question, why is my button red?
Okay.
Okay. And believe it or not, that actually is kind of an interesting question.
Okay.
The second thing we're going to talk about is where is my data connection?
Okay.
There's a little feature called the data cam that we're going to be talking about. Then there's also some really convenient new features that we've added for manipulating grids. Which just
not data grids, but grids, layout grids.
Actually, layout grids. That's
right.
Correct. Yeah, just to make it a whole lot easier to deal with those layout grids.
That's nice because while you can create them easily, manipulating them is not always as
afterwards
simple
thing not so much fun.
Right.
That's right.
But it is easier now.
It's, I hope you'll agree, quite a lot easier.
Excellent. Well, why don't we jump right in? You can show us what you're gonna.
Sure. So that first question. Here's my button. I've been given this application by some guy, right? You know some guy. He hands you projects. And
yeah. He does it to me all the time.
Yeah. And when some guy hands you this project, he hasn't really told you too much about the project structure, and you know that the app works pretty well, and you want to maintain it,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you might add and extend stuff in it. But your first challenge is to figure out how he's structured his project, okay?
Right.
And you could just dive right in with find and replace and start getting into your XAML and saying, hey, I can see these little tags here are telling me that I have a style here, and I can then drill down to that with find and replace. You don't even know what file things are in. You don't quite know what structure
right.
is used. Wouldn't it be nice if we used the knowledge, the superpowers that we have as a designer? Because we've parsed this XAML already for you.
Yeah, it already knows right. what's getting
it the style already from. Knows where that style's coming from. So how about we share that information
that
with you?
That would be great.
Wouldn't it be neat? Well, the good news is now we do. Right? And so let's see how that works. So we can see we've got three different buttons here. And in this case, we're going to look at the red one. Okay? And our first question is, okay, what's going on? New view over here in the property view. So let's just zoom in on this guy so that the viewers can take a look at what's going on over here. We've got this extra tab. Okay? And that extra tab is sorted by property source. We're familiar with the good old alphabetical and categorized views.
Right.
This one is really useful for answering the question, where does stuff come from? Right?
And so I can point my kids at this.
Absolutely.
Why is the sky blue, Dad?
Yeah, exactly.
Go
why is
see
it blue?
The property source.
Just go see it. It's right here. And the answer is, right, we sort according to where things are set, right? Instead of any of the other sorts. We're just asking the question, where does this property get its value from?
Great.
Okay. And the property marker here that you see here also gives you some clues. Okay. So this top set are all set by local bindings or resources. Okay. So this is all the things that are on my control. And we typically find that when you're editing a control,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time you're working with the things that are already set.
Right.
And it's tweaking it and moving it around. So that set of properties turns out to be very important. Secondly, here are things I'm getting from styles and inheritance. And then in the big bucket below is like everything else, right? So I immediately, my eye is caught by these little blue dots here. And what they tell me is that these values that I see here are coming from a style setter.
Okay.
This has given me my first clue. Okay, so some stuff in this button is coming from a style.
That means
setter.
Even though the foreground's white, it's not being set to white. It's being set through a style.
There's no equals white attribute in the XAML.
Right.
If we were to go and look for it, it's actually being set someplace else. Right. And we'd love to find our way down to where things are. So we're getting a clue that there's a style out there. And sure enough, this guy's giving us that clue as well. Another little visual clue. It's grouped up here. The style is set. To a resource, okay, and that's what that little paintbrush tells you. It says value source is resource.
That's paintbrush?
Yeah, seriously, honestly.
Gotcha.
But Icons, not so much room.
It's amazing what you do with 7 or 8 pixels.
It really is, isn't it? I mean, when you look at that guy, the illusions that he's casting on you. Anyway, so if I right-click on this guy, I've got the new feature, and it's go to value definition.
Okay.
These guys have been here all along. They've been in Visual Studio 2010 since RTM, okay? But this one, go to value definition, that's brand new for the Silverlight 4 tools. Oh, and by the way, I should mention that if you're a WPF guy, these Silverlight 4 tools are just as useful to you because they work across both.
And quickly, just to reiterate here, reset value would wipe out the style completely.
That's right.
Basically just takes the style setting out of the XAML.
That's right.
Apply resource applies a new style.
Yep. Go,
not a new
and
style.
That pops up existing. A little resource picker that lets you browse for resources.
And it could be local or
could be
an
local,
XAML
could be an app XAML, could be in a resource dictionary. Exactly right.
And this one says, I don't want to muck with the style. I just want to go see.
Where is it? Yeah. Let's get the binoculars out, drill down.
Great.
Right? Okay. So I drill down to my value definition. Now, at the moment, Property Inspector isn't very interesting right now, and I'll show you a little trick about that in a moment. But what I've found is I've come down to that red button style. So here in my XAML.
And it shows you you're in some dictionary.
I'm in style dictionary, which just happens to be in my project. This could be anywhere in my project. This is a super simple little one, but you know, this could be really deep. Imagine a real world project. You could have hundreds of XAML files and really deep directory structures and things referenced from other things through merged dictionary calls, all of that kind of stuff, right? So it's taken us right to the dictionary where that style is set. Okay, so we can start to drill in. And we're thinking, well, hey, Mark, you know, this is really great, but I've got addicted to that go-to-value definition stuff. And I, you know,
the styles can be based on others. And
things, so, for instance, if we start to inspect this style here, we'll see that inside the control template for this button, we have a rectangle here that actually, if we take a quick scroll across here, we'll see that it's a dark brush, red brush key. And I would really love to know where that thing is. Well, once again, I'm in the same dilemma as I was before. Right. Now I'm back to find in files. That's like so 2009.
Yeah, Mark, make my properties come back.
That's no good. We could do better than that. So what we do is we do a little trick. What I did there was I made the design view appear. Now, the design view isn't very interesting. It's the wonderful intentionally left blank screen.
Okay. Yes, yes.
It's not giving us any content, but what it is doing is it's loading our model. It's just, you know, you don't always want to be populating that thing.
Right.
It's just
time,
you know.
A lot of the time, XAML, you
if you're just doing XAML editing and you really aren't trying to answer the question, where is this thing from, or trying to do something that the property inspector might help you with.
Exactly.
The properties window gives you a bunch of editors for brushes and stuff, right? You might want to be using those, but if you're not, well, why load it? Right,
so
right.
And imagine that could get time consuming if there was a 3,000 line style.
So, and if every time we opened up all of these, it might get a little slow. Instead, we open that on demand, right? So you have to open it. You have to know this trick at the moment. We might find a neater way of doing that later, but at the moment, this is the trick you need to know.
Okay.
And you can see it's lit right up there. And sure enough, my rectangle is selection synced. And this is just something I like to talk about is that, you know, when you're a XAML guy, don't think that this guy is no longer your friend, right? Because he really is. And I'm just going to zoom in there so that the viewers can see what's happened over here is that we can see that the fill is set according to a resource. Once again, it's telling us that it's set according to a resource. And we can use go to value definition again to go find where that resource is set. So isn't that neat? So
that is neat.
Sure enough, now we're in our brush dictionaries.
Which is a different file.
It's a totally different file. It's just linked in. As it turns out, I've used the fairly typical structure here. Let me just show you what's actually going on, just to give you the answers in the back of the book.
right.
Okay. So sure enough, up here in app.xaml, I have a merge dictionary call, right? And it's actually merging both of those dictionaries up there. You might have done it at different levels. It's just one particular strategy.
Right.
Okay. What I'm also going to do here is just for giggles, I'm going to show you another feature.
You're turning on outlining?
So here on the outlining menu, I can say toggle outlining expansion, and I'm going to collapse that up. And you can see that brush that I was working with there, when I've got it collapsed up like this, it has this new feature. And what this means is that when you've got everything collapsed up, let's say that some more of these guys were actually collapsed, you can see as I collapse them there, they're actually going to this kind of summary view. And what that's showing you is the first line of whatever's in that tag. Now, pretty typically, people will put some key information in there, like the key, for instance, if it's a keyed resource.
Usually, I put the key or
the target type or the based on, that kind of stuff. Yeah. All that stuff will now appear in this first line, which means that if you've got a collapsed dictionary, it's super easy to scan your way down it now.
Yeah, that's great, because before, it's funny, we were looking at this first, I'm like, where did that come from?
Yep.
Before, it was just dot, dot, dot.
Exactly. That's all you'd get. So you'd get the very useful style.
Right.
Right? Or brush.
Much better. So you could do control MM and collapse everything and you get to see.
Totally. Yeah. Right, exactly right. And now you've got exactly what you want right in view. So we know we've now got to the brush that we wanted to work with. And notice that I actually took a little time earlier. The system will remember the openedness of the designer on a file-by-file basis. So whatever it was when last you opened it, it will be when you next open it.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so that's persisted on a file-by-file basis. So this one is one I happened to have opened earlier. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, my property inspector is right open over here. And my linear gradient brush, which is the thing I'm working on, is open. So, you know, I can...
Now we can see there's no more paintbrushes, so this is...
This is the real thing.
The bottom, and this is basically... These are all locally set, say, at the black diamond.
That's right. That's correct. So we're now in a position to actually... if I pop right up to the brush itself, I can... to another brush, I can actually use the brush editor right here in XAML. I can tweak things if I want to.
Right.
And so I've got to the bottom of the stack. I found out why my button is red. Okay? And if I really wanted to, if I wanted to tweak that resource a little bit, I don't actually have to pop back out to Blend to do that. Now, in the past, you had to do that. Cider is in Visual Studio 2010 is not really a resource creation tool, but it's a pretty decent find and apply and tweak tool.
Right, because in the past, prior to Silverlight 4 and Blend 4, really, if you wanted to edit a lot of XAML and do a lot of resources, not just creation, but even editing them, you really had to go back to Blend to do any of that.
Correct.
Now you can at least stay here
to
do all your editing and manipulation.
For your basic editing and manipulation, where you're just tweaking something that's already there, chances are you're going to be able to do it right in the combination of the XAML editor and the property inspector, which is just a really powerful combination now.
Great.
So this that's the answer to my question.
Blend too. So. Yeah.
Well, exactly. If you're one of the many people who don't happen to have a copy of Blend at hand, you might find this to be useful.
Great.
So all the full power of the property inspector, the properties window, is available to you when you're editing XAML through the power of selection synchronization.
Now, you said you were also going to show us how to use the can.
Oh,
so, show us how to use the can.
You know what? I think everyone should know, don't you? So here I have a data grid, and here I have a real layout grid over on the right-hand side here. And this is the master. This is a list of customers. And this is a customer, the view of a customer, customer's orders. So we can see that that's reflected over here in the data sources window.
And you got that by dragging over the data source.
Correct. So there's a bunch of videos out there. Just go search on my name, to be honest, and you'll find me demoing using that drag and drop capability from the data sources window. So let's not take too much time over that. But what's important to note is the DSW here, the data sources window, knows about the structure of my data set, which could be a plain old CLR object, could be a XSD data source, you know, a whole bunch of other sources.
Sure.
Could be a bunch of different things. A web service.
Korea
service is a very important example, and that works particularly well with this little thing we're going to show. So it's aware of the shape, okay? So, I mean, in this case, it's listing tables, but it could be shapes that you're working with here. And in this case, we have customers and orders, and underneath here, we have the orders of the customers, which is what these are. These are the orders.
You're not just binding to orders. You're binding to orders that are bound to this.
That are the customers' orders.
Yes.
The line you have selected in the data grid, we want this to update when we run the app. That's nice, okay? But one of the things that people say is, well, hey, if I'm picking one of these things up, okay, how do I understand what the structure of my form is? Okay, where is my data coming from? So if I'm looking at my form now, I can see that there's this new feature, the data can. Mm-hmm. Okay, what this guy allows me to do, and those who know how these things work, is in cases other than real services, you have a collection view source that is wired up for each of your data contexts.
Okay.
Okay. And in this case, you can see there are two of them. So there's the customer's view source. Okay. And you see what it did here? It actually synced my XAML view straight to that collection view source.
Your document outline, your XAML view,
everything's
and your properties.
Everything's all synced up, so I can get right into my XAML and start, you know, for instance, in the collection view source, that's a very powerful object for adding filtering and grouping.
Right.
Okay. I can dig right in there and start using that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's telling me where my data is coming from and helping me get to the right place to start editing it. And likewise, if I wanted to look at the one that was for this side of the screen, the customer's orders view source, Okay, so they're named in a reasonably logical fashion.
Yes.
And that's an automatic naming strategy. Sure enough, there's another collection view source here that does that. Okay, and that's really, that's the feature in a nutshell.
Right, so it takes a little of the magic away from dragging a data source out of the data source window, and you know it's creating XAML for you,
yeah.
But now at least you can see what XAML's creating, you can see the visual can.
And that it's logical, right?
Yes.
The nice thing about this XAML is it is logical, because this collection view source is a control you might well use if you were just hand typing the XAML yourself.
Right.
And then when you get further down into the bindings that it's created, they're nice simple bindings up into that collection view source object.
Right.
You know, easy to read, easy to maintain, straightforward.
Excellent.
Right. So that's neat, right? So I no longer have to scratch my head and wonder where my collection view source went, where the collection was. And as I say, that'll work just as well for RIA services too, so it has a slightly different way of wiring things up.
And you're in a WPF application. This works in Silverlight.
Works just as well in Silverlight. And that's actually one of the points I wanted to make, really, is that you're seeing the same designer, the same tools, the same everything.
Right.
Okay, so if you're moving back and forth, as we know a lot of people are, between doing WPF apps and Silverlight apps, same skills, same tools, same everything.
Great.
Basically. I mean, there are obviously some differences around asynchronous behavior and sandboxes and details like that. But
sure.
When it comes to the things that are in common, we want to make sure they look in common when they're in the designer,
right,
too. Okay? So, next thing, if I just escape out of that and undo my little maneuver there.
Control-Z still.
Control-Z, I love it. You've got to love it. So we can see that I have my ship region here. Now, one of the minor disadvantages of this data sources window in Visual Studio 2010 mm-hmm. is it doesn't actually have a way for me to specify what order I want things to come out in that details
okay.
view. That's an unfortunate thing, but we have a way.
Okay. Could you zoom in when we show this here?
So, yeah, I'll just pop right in here. You can see that I have a slightly ugly-looking font here.
It's a great font,
I told you about my design skills, right? So this font here is just to illustrate that I have one of my fields that I'm actually going to do something with.
Sure.
But that's just the order that it came out from the data sources window, which is actually whatever order it was on your object or your table.
Right.
Not necessarily what you want the display.
9 out of 10 times not the order you want them to show
I've
up in.
I've never yet come on an occasion when that happens, okay?
Right.
And this is a feature which will help you here if you're using a layout grid, okay? If I right-click here, we have these two new thingies.
And you're right-clicking not on the row, but on an element
inside. It's just an element inside the row.
Right.
I could be anywhere inside this row. So to me,
that's key because, and I don't mean to take you off your game for a quick minute, but it's key because a lot of times you can fiddle with trying to figure out, where do I select the row? How do I select the column?
Like, where am I?
As long as it's in the row.
Exactly. If you're in the row, if you're on an object that's in the row, you're good to go.
Right.
Right? So you don't have to worry about fiddling around trying to get into this little gap over here or
exactly.
anything like that. So, what can I do with this grid row? Now, unfortunately, it's popped off the screen a little bit here, so I'm just going to have to scroll some
okay.
to give it some space. It's not quite taking account of the object. So this row here, wouldn't it be neat if I could just take hold of that row, and I'm going to use this one because it's kind of more interesting and you're going
to
see what happens.
Sure.
If I could say grid row, and I want to move it down. So watch what happens, okay? Right now, it's sitting here above Ship City, okay? Going to move it down, and sure enough, it's moved. But it's not just this label that's moved, the selected thing. It's
hey, wait
also
a minute. Has my text box moved too?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. And not only that, it swapped the. So that's actually four attached properties that got touched there. There's a grid.row on these two and these two. Okay. We just swapped them over. That's nice and easy. Now, the sharp-eyed amongst the viewers will have spotted there's more actions I can do here. Okay. I can not only move things up and down, I can delete whole rows.
Right, so if you drag, and you could do that beforehand, but if you forgot.
Sure, but if you forgot, we'll forgive you now.
And it won't just delete the row, it'll consume the space for you.
All the space, chunked up.
Great.
Gone. Okay, so we can delete a row. And for the first time, we can now insert rows and columns. So if I do an insert before, you'll see that it's inserted a new row for me to put new controls into.
Because you could have your own.
Yeah, you might add something else, right?
Exactly.
It's quite often the case that you want to add a few little extra bits and pieces of your own. A little bit of extra space never hurt anybody, right? Before, all you could do was split things. You could go to the rail here, and you could hover over it, and you could create a whole new column or row. But that's not what you want
right.
all the time. What you actually want is a little bit of space. And
what's nice is it made them equidistantly apart. I know it
yeah.
looks like it's 29 pixels up there
sure.
or down, whatever
right.
it happens
just made
to
it,
be.
Made it easy. That's right.
Because that's not easy without this.
Absolutely. You would be fiddling around in XAML for quite
a
while.
I just go to XAML usually.
Of course you would. And then and now you've got
to
nudge all those attached properties. And,
right.
And that's just not a happy place. We don't think people should have to do boring tasks like that.
Good.
We think it's much better if the designer does that for you.
I agree
with
you.
And this is not just for things that come from the data sources window. Anytime you have a layout grid, and let me show you this on the macro scale. So here's the layout grid that I'm using for my top level.
Okay.
let's say that I want to swap these two columns around, okay?
So now you're talking about the left layout
the
grid.
The left, which is my master, and my details. So I'm going to take that data grid,
right,
and as if by magic, I'm going to swap them around. Okay, so it works on any grid, and that just makes it really easy to, and I'll just undo that, and it comes back. So just convenient little features that make your life, those tedious tasks that you have to do over and over, make them a little bit easier for you.
That's really nice, and you can still add new rows and columns the way you could.
Same old way.
Good to go.
Exactly so. So we've answered several questions, right?
Yes. We now know why our button's red.
Yes.
Which was driving me crazy.
I mean, you know, who didn't want to know that? Okay, so that's one.
Yep.
We now know where our data went, okay, because we have the little can to help mm-hmm. us out. And we now know how to reorder things in a layout grid without having to touch the XAML.
This is great because there's some very intuitive ways of doing this, which I really appreciate. I know all of our developers will appreciate as well. Mark, cool. This is great. And all this is available today, right?
That's right now. In the Silverlight 4 tools for Visual Studio 2010, go to silverlight.net, go get it.
Excellent. This is great. Mark, cool. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, no problem.
Appreciate it.
Cool.
And thank you for watching.
Thank you.